So today we are discussing the starting verse of chapter 15, Maharaj Prithu's appearance and coronation. Text 1. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Atha tasya pune punarvipre.
Atha tasya punarvipre.
Aputrasya mahipate.
Aputrasya mahipate.
Bahubhyam matyamanabhyam.
Bahubhyam matyamanabhyam.
Mithunam samapadyata.
Mithunam samapadyata.
Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Atha tasya punarvipre.
Atha tasya punarvipre.
Aputrasya mahipate.
Aputrasya mahipate.
Bahubhyam matayamanabhyam.
Bahubhyam matayamanabhyam.
Mithunam samapadyata.
Mithunam samapadyata.
Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Atha tasya punarvipre.
Atha tasya punarvipre.
Aputrasya mahipate.
Aputrasya mahipate.
Bahubhyam matayamanabhyam.
Bahubhyam matayamanabhyam.
Mithunam samapadyata.
Mithunam samapadyata.
Please repeat. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya, continue to speak.
Maitreya, continue to speak.
Atha.
Atha.
Thus.
Thus.
Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
This.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Vipre.
Vipre.
By the Brahmanas.
By the Brahmanas.
Aputrasya.
Aputrasya.
Without a son.
Without a son.
Mahipate.
Mahipate.
Of the king.
Of the king.
Bahubhyam.
Bahubhyam.
From the arms.
From the arms.
Matyamanabhyam.
Matyamanabhyam.
Being churned.
Being churned.
Mithunam.
Mithunam.
A couple.
A couple.
Samapadyata.
Samapadyata.
Took birth. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, thus the Brahmanas and the great sages again churn the two arms of King Vena's dead body. As a result, a male and female couple came out of his arms. Since there is no purport to this verse, we will also read the next verse. Text 2. Tadrishtva mithunam jatam rishayo brahmavadina ujo paramasantushta viditva bhagavatkalam. Translation. The great sages were highly learned in Vedic knowledge. When they saw the male and the female born of the arms of Vena's body, they were very pleased, for they could understand that the couple was an expansion of the plenary portion of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The method adopted by great sages and scholars who were learned in Vedic knowledge was perfect. They removed all the reactions of King Vena's sinful activities by seeing that King Vena first gave birth to Bahuka, described in the previous chapter. After King Vena's body was thus purified, a male and female came out of it, and the great sages could understand that this was an expansion of Lord Vishnu. This expansion, of course, was not Vishnu Tattva, but a specifically empowered expansion of Lord Vishnu known as Avesh. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahu Vishnu Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantita Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavansh Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Dagunathambitam Tamsaji Sadhavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Nirdeva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Nidamsha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Putare Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinam Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prachari Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pashyapridesha Tarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shiradha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shiradhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Nilachala Nipasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balabhadra Subhadrabhyam Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhairacha Patita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vishnavi Bhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarina I seek the blessings of all the devotees here so that we can make some humble attempt to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages have been in action since a long time now. It is a long innings. Which they have been playing And the question which comes here is that what are they doing? As we see, till now, each and every move and each and every decision, each and every arrangement has led to an increase in the entropy of the imbalance, has led to chaos. Maharaj Veena was installed on the throne, and that led to chaos. And then Maharaj Veena was instructed, but that acted like it just acted like triggering a hungry lion. And Maharaj Veena became even more outrageous. And then Maharaj Veena was destroyed. And with that, just a few words before, we were hearing, the sages were sitting and they are hearing the cries and of plunderers and people who are looting around, creating havoc in the kingdom. And then they started churning, and out came Bahuka, the leader of the Nisharas, whose characteristics is described as people who perform all kinds of sinful activities. So in that way, in the manifestation of the dynasty of Bahuka, what came out was a whole class representative of sinful activities. And now, for the churning, all of a sudden, a man and a woman have appeared. And the sages are excited seeing that. But what should others think about it? Okay, a man and woman has appeared, and what is going to come up? So the sage's excitement appears to be some sort of encouragement for people. Hold on, something wonderful is coming up. And then they are saying, one layer of chaos, another layer of havoc, another layer of catastrophe. And then they are saying, oh, hold on, the process is going on. And now the next step, something wonderful is going to come up. And then they say, oh, sin personified. And then they say the whole clan of sinful activities. And then now the man and woman have come. And then therefore the immediate question may come, okay, what is going to come in the offering? And the sages are excited, and that excitement is showing that this is like an encouragement, giving hope. Hold on, now something very beautiful is going to come up. Something very beautiful is going to come up. So this is the juncture at which we are at this point of time, and the sages' excitement is like a pacification to the people around, and people don't know what is it, who is this man, woman, and what are they going to do. So this juncture Prabhupada explains very beautifully what all is going through. And Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport, the beginning lines, the method adopted by the great sages and scholars who were learned in Vedic knowledge was perfect. The lesson here is that yes, the method was perfect right from the beginning. Because the sages were genuinely concerned about the welfare of the people, and they were genuinely taking shelter of the Lord, and the moves which were mixed with genuine concern and genuine surrender, they cannot go wrong. How can those moves go wrong? How can those moves go wrong, actually? But it took a whole lot of time for the proof to manifest. The sages, Prabhupada is saying that yes, these learned sages, the method they adopted was perfect, but then the proof of the method has taken so much time to manifest. And it is at this stage where now there is some light, okay, something is going to come up. So this explains a very important principle, and the principle is that many times the moves with which great sages or acharyas speak, many times these moves go out of the box. And therefore, for a long, long period of time, these moves get compiled as bewilderment in the minds of others. Because these moves are out of the box. And therefore it becomes very difficult to comprehend or to decipher what is happening. Is it something favorable? Is it going to lead to something wonderful? Or is it simply some hard work gymnastics? That is the point. And history has been a proof that great sages of all times, they have taken means, they have taken routes which cannot be comprehended. And many times, even routes, after some time, one can comprehend that, it gets installed, it gets understandable, it gets interpreted after a long time, but still, that is a route which cannot even be imitated. Well, that is the hallmark of great sages. That is the hallmark of people in knowledge. And therefore, the point is that in this way, when great sages, the acharyas, they take reams of the message of the Lord, the mission of the Lord, that manifestation of Sankirtan and Bhakti comes or proceeds ahead in magnificent ways which are simply incomprehensible. Just like we hear we had gone to Srirangam at one point of time. in one of the yatras. And such a magnificent temple with seven doors, the Lord Ranganath Swami. Lying down in great magnificence. Showering his beautiful glance, beautiful mercy on all of us. So we had gone there and then we were getting to understand and learn about the history of the temple. Amazing, mind-boggling. And that was one of the alvars. And he wanted to make a beautiful temple as an offering for the Lord. And he recruited. And he went ahead to start the recruitment process. And this recruitment was not recruitment for full-time devotees or recruitment in the Brahmachari ashram. Nah? Okay, you know, come and join us. He recruited a team of dacoits by his mystic powers. So by his mystic powers, he recruited a team of dacoits and hypnotized all of them. And in that state of hypnosis, they were about to execute a wonderful mission. That was not mission of book distribution. And that was not mission of fundraising. Yeah, it was mission of fundraising, but in amazing ways. And the ways were, and they were doing thievery in rich people's houses. And then bringing money. They were doing thievery in rich people's houses and bringing money. And in this way, the money was being brought in. There's a constant flow because in the daytime, the construction used to happen. In the nighttime, the fundraising used to happen. It was round the clock which was going on. And in this way, a beautiful, beautiful temple for Lord Ranganath Swami came manifested. The temple of the seven doors. It was amazing, it was mind-boggling, it took me time to comprehend that yes, this is devotional service and amazing. And the end of it all was also amazing. So when the temple was constructed, the Lord was established, I mean the deity is coming from Lord Brahma, the deity is coming from Brahmaloka and it has been passed down in generation. So it was not the deity was installed, but the deity was Lord Ranganath Swami is being passed on dynasty after dynasty. So then the Alvar, he engaged one of his close disciples who even had another mystic power to take all these dacoits, the whole team, for a celebration. And this celebration was organized on a cruise. It was a celebration on a cruise. And then they took all the band of dacoits and everyone was celebrating on a cruise. And the plan was to drown the boat. So this particular disciple, he had the siddhi that he could walk back on water. So whereas everybody else, that was the end of their term of service. And in that way, they were relieved from doing any further activity because under a state... Yeah, with the absence of hypnosis, they would have done something nasty. And therefore, the end of their term was in this way. And one of his disciples just walked back. Because he had that siddhi. Now, this is mind-boggling. This is amazing. But then, we see the testimony of that service is still there today, inspiring all of us in bhakti. As Ranganath Temple. So, many times, great sages and acharyas, they act in ways and their moves are not well understood. And the point is that because these moves are not well understood, what happens is, or what may happen is that because the moves cannot be compiled, what may happen is that it may lead to unnecessary critics and criticism. And that has been there in our society as well. It may lead to unnecessary criticism. So therefore, it is very important to understand that the manifestation of Sankirtan has to go out of the box. Because we see in its very setting, Logically speaking, Maya is not static. Maya is dynamic. Therefore, the material energy comes up with newer and newer ways of entanglement. And now the point which comes is that if Maya is dynamic and there is no static element in Maya, it comes up with a lot of ways how to entice people. So just like we see the evolution of modern day society, now at one point of time, okay, industrialization became a cause for entangling people even more, because you know, now industrialization has happened, so much of consumerism has increased and so many products to titillate the senses, that industrialization led to the, so that there's a Maya. Then globalization led to further increase in entanglement of Maya. Now people are connected together. Previously they had only, you know, some sense gratification available around, and one had to do a lot of tapasya to find out sense gratification, because one has to go a long way, but now everything is available sitting at one place. So that led to even further entanglement. In this way we see the material energy is so dynamic in her entanglement plans. The question is, or the point is that, how can the manifestation or the steering of the Sankirtan mission of the Lord be static? How can the steering of the Sankirtan mission be static and follow some straight protocols, some fixed protocols and so on? That is the question which has to be considered. That is the question which has to be surmised. So in this way, we can understand that this process of Sankirtan goes out of the box. So just because something is not comprehensible, that does not mean that it doesn't exist within, or it doesn't manifest pure bhakti, an offering of dedication. In this way we see so many moves of Srila Prabhupada were not understood, and it took a great amount of time for these moves to manifest. The making of Western devotees into sannyasis, in the first place crossing over the oceans, not understood. Conducting marriages as a sannyasi, the opening of Brahmacharini ashram. So many moves were not at all understood. It was unheard of. It was unheard of. So this is the hallmark of the Acharyas. We can see, this is the hallmark of the Acharyas. Just like it was so ecstatic to hear about the glories of His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj yesterday. And it was such enlivening, it was so enlivening to hear about. And one of the aspects that you were hearing was that, yes, how Maharaj is so amazing and innovative in his ways of preaching. And since so many years back, Maharaj started conducting these cruise camps. And then Prabhu was explaining that, yes, initially it was not understood well. And it was taken with a lot of critics and a lot of opposition in that way. So it took time. That means it was not comprehensible how that can fit in. But then over the years, now it has become a standard template for everyone to emulate and follow. That yes, preaching, Western preaching, this is the way. So this is the hallmark of Acharyas. They paved the way actually. They paved the way.
In a similar way, let's see, when Radhanath Swami started building a community in Mumbai, then one of the projects in the community was building a hospital. One of the projects in that community was building a hospital. Why? Because they were doing preaching, and some doctors became devotees and they wanted to understand how they can offer their profession as a service. So then Maharaj came up with an idea of making a hospital, which is more like a temple, which heals the physical disease, but along with that, as a free gift, it heals the heart. And when this started, again it was misunderstood. What is this going on? Is this bhakti? Is it pure devotional service? What is it going on? Are we reducing to the same platform of mundane social service? Or what is going on? Making a hospital? Is it devotional service in any ways? And it went on actually. And I have seen that the devotee doctors, practically they have spent their whole career, and it has taken 20-25 years for the whole Vaishnav community to accept and acknowledge when the results start coming. With everyday preaching programs happening, when people started getting cured and they keep coming back, not getting diseased again, but then keep coming back for spiritual programs. And when it became a hub of offering Vaishnav service to Srila Prabhupada disciples, and they could see the transcendental culture there. And yes, so now we see it has become a template. In that way, now it has also become a template. So if one has to open a temple in a particular area, they will say, okay, what all we need in a temple? So we need deities, we need temple hall, we need bhakti vriksha, we need youth forum, youth preaching, and I think we need Govindas, and we need a Bhakti Vedanta hospital, and we need an ego village type of farm, Vada farm or something like that. So this becomes a template. But yes, the devotees who had made this template, actually, they had to go through a whole volley of oppositions and criticism and so on. So that's the point, actually, that the principles take, the mission of the Lord takes time to manifest. But the arrangements which are imbued or mixed with sincerity and surrender, they are going to be misunderstood. So they are going to work out good in due course of time. Similarly, I remember when His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj, he started this venture of having an IT park. And it was a whole IT park. And Maharaj has done ingenious innovations, not only starting IT park, but then setting up industries, which can bring a good amount of finances for the temple, for the mission of the Lord, and a good amount of engagement for the devotees. Now, in terms of creating, yes, a Varnashrama culture. And some of these industries actually failed as well, because it was started, it picked up to some limit, and it failed. But that's the nature of business. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. And some of them were successful as well. So the point was that, again, it's not easy to understand what's happening. Again, it was misunderstood, it was taken, it took a lot of time to understand. So in this way, we can see so many examples in which the entire steering of bhakti goes out of the box. And I remember there was this phase in India 20 years before when there was not much focus on youth preaching. Because in general, the code was fundraising, congregation preaching was there, fundraising was there. But serious thought was not given on youth preaching. Or because the, I have heard from senior devotees, because the culture was, or the thought process was that to invest in youth is a very long term investment, doesn't give results for a long time. And whether you'll get results or not, don't know. But because somebody is, suppose in first year of engineering, and practically the investment has to go on till he passes out. Some people get a job, some people take an intake. And even when one gets a job, which city he will go to, which country he will go to, now where is he going to land? So yes, so the results, so that means the proportion who actually stay back in the project as a brahmachari or as a grihastha, both, doesn't matter, but to contribute in the project where they got Krishna consciousness, the numbers become very less actually. And therefore the question comes, this was a very long term investment actually. So it was not well taken off. And I remember when devotees started doing that, again there was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of opposition actually. When some of these devotees started youth preaching, in the very temple, there was opposition. I remember Chaupati temple itself, there was a lot of opposition actually. And many devotees would feel that these devotees starting youth preaching, they will not be able to remain brahmachari also. Why? Because the youth preaching requires you to go and stay with the boys, you are not staying in the temple for so long, and then how will the Krishna consciousness will be maintained, and so on and so forth. And but just because there was a persistent, sincere effort in progressive youth preaching, therefore actually, now all Indian temples have picked it up. And it is going on so amazingly. It is so inspiring to see, actually. It is so inspiring to see. So, this principle is very important for us to understand. That the Sankirtan mission is not traditional. It is going to go beyond comprehensions. And therefore, understanding this aspect, it is going to take time for results to come. One can relish the adventurous nature of bhakti in that way. Because many times in bhakti, we will see that one is faced to get bewildered. That what is it happening and how is it going? Will it work out? But then actually in this way, without succumbing to a salve or a vision of critics or criticism, one can relish the adventure and variegatedness of bhakti actually. What to say of the Sankirtan mission? The point is that even in our own lives, bhakti does not manifest in a straight-cut manner. The manifestation of bhakti doesn't take place in a straight-cut manner. Many times we see in our own lives, even when one abides by the set protocol instructions which are given, one doesn't see the results as expected. We see, so we see that, yes, When we started doing book distribution, we were following the standard protocol, we learned it, we got training very nicely, we applied it, it didn't work out. I remember many of our devotees, and they get a whole lot of training in preaching, and then they go out preaching, but it doesn't work out. The protocol is the same, the template is the same, it's well trained, it's well ingrained, and it doesn't work out in the first go. So, we see, similarly, in our own pursuance of bhakti also, we see many times, as we are practicing bhakti, we start chanting 16 rounds, we start following the instructions, start doing services, but we don't see a progressive, steady purification of the heart. It goes in many weird fashions. So many times one sees the practice of bhakti, anarthas are coming out, and one is not understanding, am I making advancement or am I getting more and more degraded in the assembly of devotees or in this mission, in the practice of bhakti? So nothing goes in a straight cut fashion many times. And many times there are situations in our own lives where one sees a lot of purification is happening. But externally it is a very wonderful display and everybody is glorifying. Wonderful, wonderful. Just like we have seen, sometimes, say for example, we empower suppose a particular devotee and offer him to be an in charge of a particular center. He is the in charge, the overall in charge of a particular college, preaching and so on. So now he has the topmost post, he is the man, or in that way a small king, a small installation of a kingdom, and a small king in his own place and things like that. So everybody else is glorifying, wonderful, wonderful, what, you know, this Prabhu is the in charge, now you know, he is making so much advancement and then he is taking responsibilities and this and that and everybody else, but poor fellow, the in charge has become in charge, the problem, only problem is the post is there, the only problem is nobody follows him actually. And that's what we see actually. And even if he has to literally bow down to everybody's lotus feet and wondering. I remember in one of the colleges, there was one second year devotee and he was made in charge. He was the internal manager and he was in second year and he was in charge of the whole place. And then I happened to go for a visit to that place, to that particular college. And I was observing, okay, what is happening there, and I saw that this particular in charge is not going to classes. One day, 2 day, 3 day, observed. I called him. I said, "You don't go to classes. You don't have classes." He says, "Prabhu, I have classes." And I said, "You don't go to classes." He says, "Yeah, Prabhu, I try to go, but I'm not able to go." And I said, "Okay, what is the problem? You're not able to go?" He said, "No, Prabhu, I'm internal manager." I said, "Okay, that I know, but what is the problem?" He said, "Prabhuji, actually, what is the problem is that there's so many services." And I have made the schedule and I request devotees and I remind them and they don't do the service. And then I said, then I do the service. And I said, then that is why I am not able to go for classes. So 1 month he had not gone to classes actually. So many times a lot of turmoil which takes place actually. And externally it appears that yes, she is advancing very nicely. And internally the person is experiencing a lot of purification. Lot of purification. It's just like... it's just like when the Lord was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and Kaliya was hit by the lotus feet of the Lord, was like a thunderbolt on his head. And Kaliya was vomiting blood, the Bhagavatam explains, he was vomiting blood and fire, and it was appearing a very panoramic multicolored display, and it was a very beautiful sight to see. There was red and orange, and it was just like a firelight. Now this people have these firecrackers in the night and all that. It was appearing a very beautiful display and the Lord was very resplendent and the Lord's lotus feet and Kaliya's hoods were shining and the Lord was dancing in that. So it was very amazing. It was natural headlights, you know, with Kaliya's this thing. But for Kaliya, it was a lot of purification actually. So yes, even in our own lives, the manifestation of bhakti does not go in a straight cut fashion actually. So therefore, the only solution is to understand that yes, no, in bhakti requires perseverance. That yes, we keep on going. And not getting, because The results are not manifested, neither we should give up, nor one should take to critics. Just like nowadays in India, there is a hot topic going on. And since so many days and weeks, and devotees have been sending so many mails from India, and here itself also I think there were waves in our WhatsApp group. Then devotees had sent. So people, there's a lot of upheaval going on that okay, so here is a son. Here is a son. And the only son of the parents, and ISKCON has taken it away. And that son has become a sadhu. And that question is being raised, that what is going on? Is this bhakti going on? Is this humane also? What is it? And it is mind-boggling, and then people are, and it is going on series after series. And then they are doing show after show, okay, and then the parents, and the what is happening with the parents. And so it is incomprehensible actually, that yes, it's the only son, and that son had gone to IIT, and then after IIT he has gone where, no? So instead of MNC company, you know, his flight took off in such a great style, it didn't land it where it was supposed to land, landed in the ashram, no? Landed at lotus feet of the Lord. It's not understandable which is going on. So this is another example of the process of bhakti, that how the process of bhakti may not be understood so easily. So yes, they are doing shows and they are showing, okay, the parents are crying. And the child, you know, he is not understanding what's happening, and then there are these shows which are going on. But how do we understand? We understand the effect of anything by its end results. What does the end result leads to? I remember before I had joined the Brahmachari Ashram, I was very fearful. And therefore, in our temple there were 40 Brahmacharis. And I had met each one of them and spent time with them to understand their case studies. Of how could they join? And how they dealt with the parents? And how was that phase? And there were 40 of them. And in my statistical analysis, obviously there was a whole lot of stories and a whole lot of transcendental episodes, and it was a very different race, how they each one of them got reaction and how they, you know, went through joining the ashram. But then one of the aspects which I could understand in this statistical analysis was that 38 out of 40 of these Brahmacharis, their parents were chanting 16 rounds at that time. And that was not the case before they took this step. So everything has to be understood. And so many of their parents were initiated. And many of them were staying in the temple. I have seen so many Brahmacharis, father, mother, they were staying in the temple and rendering service throughout the day. And they were not like that. Like one of the Brahmacharis, he wanted to join. So he was very fearful of his parents. He was a CA, a very brilliant CA. And he had cracked all the exams. And then he was very fearful of his parents. So he was not daring to go and tell them that he is joining. So he didn't tell them only. So after 1 year of joining, he just wrote a mail to his father. That, okay, this is it. Like that. And there was no response. And after 6 months, the father came. So that means he was already 1.5 years. Saffron by now, not like that in the ashram. And so father came on 6 months, and then they were having some intimate talks, and the father was telling, you know, his father told him, you know, that they were talking intimately and all that, and his father was told him that when his father was a young boy, then he heard about Prabhupada and he heard about the mission and all that. And he got very inspired by the mission of this, you know, the Sankirtan preaching. And his father told, I got a thought that let me join, dedicate. His father got a thought that let me join. But then those days there was this Dhammaro Dham movie going on. with the starring some actor called Devananda Deva something. So Hare Krishna Hare Ram, you know. So in the movie became a big hit, it seems like that, because movie became a big hit and his father thinking, okay, is that Hare Krishna associated with that, what is it and all that. He was a little confused, therefore he married, you know. So like that. And this was not told to anyone. And at this point of time, after so many years, his father is telling. And like that. And then yes, we saw his father was serving in the accounts department also. After some time, that way. So we have to see everything, evaluate everything by the end result actually. So a temporary upheaval cannot be zoomed and projected as a cue to a wholesome criticism. That is the point. It's just like, suppose, you know, the mother and a child, if a child is doing mischief and the mother is chastising, the child is not listening and he's at the peak of his naughty behavior, the mother may slap a child. Now, if at this point of time, just imagine the child's friend comes and the mother is slapping the child and he takes a photograph and he takes videography, uploads it on the, you know, YouTube and saying that this mother is a very cruel lady. You know? It is true, because she may be running and saying and shouting at the child and giving him a tight slap on the face, and this person may be, you know, wounded and things like that. But you don't know what he was doing. I remember one time I got a wound and it was I had to go for stitches actually. Yeah, because, you know, so that is the case. What can be done actually? But so this result can be very easily, you know, photographed and videographed and published, and it can be published even in international journals that is a cruel lady, you know, like that. But we don't understand the scene before and we don't understand the scene after. That's a problem. That is a problem actually. So therefore, the point is that everything has to be seen from a holistic perspective. No. Coming to this aspect of brahmachari joining the ashram, so I personally, being going through that phase, I've realized what exactly it does. The upheaval at the time of joining, and the parents are disturbed, and they go through some phase of agony. So what that actually does is this, that many times people, they are blinded by, you know, the society's influence of material desires is blinding the people, and there is a lot of the society's expectations and so on. It creates a sort of blindness, and this phase, say a son is joining, it leads to certain intense emotions. But as in the intense emotions, actually they result in actually exposing this fog. And then this fog is exposed, the priority for service to Krishna becomes very prominently manifest in the life of the son, in the life of the parents as well. I remember when I joined, my father from next day started chanting 5 rounds. He never chanted in his life. And I was so shocked, and I was wondering that, Arey, if I had known this, I would have joined much before. Because since 3 years, I was just developing the guts or whatever, you know, to... Now, to just, you know, take that step. But this happened, actually I thought, oh, I could have done that 2 years before then. You know? If this was the result, I never knew. So, so in this way we can understand, as Prabhupada is saying, that yes, the sages, they remove the sinful activities of King Vena in the form of Bahuka, and now from the arms of the Lord, the very plenary incarnations of Lord Vishnu are coming. We'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, please.
Can the expansion of Krishna can come out of King Vena's body, because he was doing so much mischievous things and he was very sinful?
So this is the process of filtration. This is the process of filtration. Just like tap water. In Melbourne you can drink tap water directly, but in India you cannot drink tap water directly, you get diseased. It has lot of chemicals and it has lot of... So tap water is put inside a filter. So that it is called as osmosis, reverse osmosis, UV. So all the contaminations are removed from the water, and then what remains is pure water. Just like we hear that the water from the rains, the water is intrinsically pure. Originally it is pure, but then it comes down the atmosphere, it has lot of chemicals in it. It gets lot of impurities. So therefore the filtration takes, this is the process of filtration, chemically speaking. No, this is exactly the process of filtration. So intrinsically, we see one thing, that from what came out of, so what churning led to was a body, is it not? But the body and the soul are different. So the soul has a spiritual origin, and these two divine souls of Maharaj Prithu and his consort, so they are coming from a transcendental plane, invested with the blessings of the Lord, and they are taking the body which is produced out of the churning that way. So that's what we understand. The churning produces the body, but this, now as is being explained before, Vena's body, actually that body was coming from the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. Therefore the genes or the DNA was very pure. The DNA was very pure and covered over. So they removed the covering in the form of Bahuka, and then they translated that pure genes into a pure body. That's how we understand. It's a process of filtration. So we'll start here. Prabhupada ki.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.